Holiday gifts?
Would you like to support local female designers?
So do we.
We are Style Cutters, a collaborative effort to promote upcoming entrepreneurs. Saturday, December 12th is our first public sale, held at Lizards, 3956 Saint Laurent Corner Duluth, from noon to 7 p.m., free admission.
Featuring Ice to Z, Borrow, Brazen Design, Deborah Adams, D-Fly, Miasma Design, Mirror Handbags, and Twig Toys.
Join us for a charming shopping experience. Cocktails and sweets will be offered. A portion of sales will be donated to Chez Doris Montreal Women's Shelter. That's Saturday, December 12th at Blizzards, Saint Laurent Boulevard, Corner Duluth. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Yowza! Good morning, people. It's Wednesday, December 9th, 2009, 11:40 in the a.m. in the blizzard am, actually. This is Val Takeygal. We finally dragged the snow dogs up the hill. Those damn dogs won't go up an incline for anything. And now we're here. Yay! Happy first blizzard of the winter. And it's actually only 12 more days before winter begins on December 21st. So maybe it's the last blizzard of autumn, but it's going to last until Friday. So get those boots out of the closet and stop wearing those crazy fluffy flip-flops on the street, girls. Chad was laughing. I actually saw somebody go by me in fluffy green flip-flop slippers.
That's just wrong.
It's just wrong.
It really is.
There's snow up to almost your calves. Come on, get a grip, girls. And boys.
It's time to pull out the lumberjack boots or
get
the mufflocks.
Get those hot jack boots with the fur and the zips and the clamps. It's time. It's the XX Files, and we're telling you about all the cool, groovy stuff that's coming up this week. First and foremost, I have to say, get your booty down to the gallery at Lucam and check out some Gorilla Girl reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamma, you were there. Did you see it?
I have walked by, and I just noticed that it's up and it's on, and it's definitely... in my agenda for this weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's excellent. It's excellent. We were down there hugging the Gorilla Girls and taking tourist pictures with them. And I have a great conversation I had with them that we're going to be airing over the holidays for your feminist gorilla action edification.
Excellent.
Yeah. And if you want to go do a master's in visual arts, University of Toronto keeps sending me this email. Please check it out. They've got 4 studio art students a year and 3 curatorial students a year. That's a pretty good deal. That's like mm-hmm. NASCAD when I went there. There were 10 people in my MFA class.
Yeah, it's nice to have the small, intense master's classes for sure.
Yeah, makes it really about that learning, mm-hmm. optimization.
That connecting.
Connecting. And the Centre d'Impression Textile in Saint-Henri is having their Christmas end-of-year student sale. It's in the Complex de Canal Lachine down there on Rue Saint-Amboise, near the McAuslin Beer Garden, actually. 4710 Rue Saint-Amboise, Gallery T for Textile. And they have some great stuff. The students sell their end-of-year stuff. It's basically giving away handmade, unique, one-of-a-kind textiles. Their sale is open this week from Monday to Thursday, 10 to 4. Check it out at www.designtextile.qc.ca. And they also have really great classes on dyeing, screen printing, making kinds of crazy things for the house. It's a really good place. They're part of the CEGEP system in textile crafts.
Check it out.
Check it out. And tomorrow at McGill's Redpath Museum, you must check out Dr. Gerda de Vries, who will discuss in the cutting edge lecture in science, quilts as mathematical objects.
Wow. How does that work?
Yeah, see, it's either, like, how does it work? Or she says it's so clear. Dr. Gerda DeVries is in the Department of Mathematical and Statistical Sciences at the University of Alberta. And from her statement, she says, the connection between textiles and mathematics is intimate, but not often explored, possibly because textiles and fiber arts have traditionally been the domain of women, while mathematics was viewed as a male endeavor. Hmm. Today, textiles and mathematics, like art and science, are recognized for their interwoven and complementary attributes. In this presentation, she will examine the connection between textiles and mathematics in the context of both traditional and contemporary quilts. In a sense, every quilt is a mathematical object by virtue of the fact that it has shape and dimension. But some quilts are more mathematical than others and in very different ways. She's going to show how mathematical concepts such as symmetry, fractals, and algorithmic design show up in the world of quilting through serendipitous and intentional design.
Wow.
That's very true.
I'd like to check that out.
Check it out. Yeah. It's free tomorrow at the Red Path at 6 o'clock. The Red Path's right there at 859 Sherbrooke Street West on the McGill campus.
Great.
Yeah. And now I can introduce the co-voice here. Jana Graham is here with me in the studio.
Hello.
Hello, Jana.
It's great to be here.
Thanks. It's great to have you here.
I trudged through the blizzard to be here.
Yeah.
It feels good to be in this toasty, warm studio
now. Isn't it? It's nice and warm. Mm-hmm. We're all like, oh, that snow is just a picturesque postcard,
That's
Christmas
right.
card outside the window now. Well, Jenna's here because we're going to be talking about the Studio XX end-of-year event, Celebration of Art, which is happening next Tuesday, December 15th at the Eastern Block. For people who don't know, it's at 7240 Clark, which is like Jean Talon East. And
it's a Clark.
It's Clark,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so that's the DeCastelnau Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or
and it's a great space.
Wild, groovy space.
Love it. Yeah.
And it's becoming an artist-run center, or it is an artist-run center.
I think, yeah, it is. I think they're working really hard to... I was in there the other day, and there was some major construction happening. They're adding bathrooms and more exhibit space. And I think there's an opening there actually tomorrow as well for another show.
Good to check that out.
Check out their website.
Check out their website, Eastern Block. Search it up. And what's happening with next Tuesday, Jama?
Well, next Tuesday is the Salon Branché, and it's going to be very excellent because there's a few things going on. Jessica McCormick, who was the first artist in residence at Studio XX
this
fall,
mm-hmm.
yeah, she's going to be presenting her project, which I believe is sort of a digital animation film.
Yeah, it's a mix of, I think, stop motion animation and digital animation hand drawn techniques.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be great. I am going to be installing sort of a quadraphonic sound piece.
Ooh.
And it'll be interesting to see how it works because it's something I installed out of doors. So this is the first time installing it indoors.
Ooh, that'll be
interesting.
Be cool.
And I think I'll also just maybe talk a bit about kind of the process of that work. And
yeah.
I believe there's a presentation.
Yeah, the evening will also feature Studio XX and the NFB's collaborative project, First Person Digital. So guest speaker Carol Whiteman is flying in from Vancouver to give a presentation entitled How to Build Drama on the Screen and Trust in the Team.
Mm-hmm. And First Person Digital, of course, is Studio XX's collaboration with NFB. So getting women media artists together with filmmakers to pitch projects. And I believe the deadline for that's March.
Yeah, I think it might be March or April next year. So this is part of the ongoing part of First Person Digital, which is disseminating information on process and production and continuing a lot of the networking efforts that were started from the beginning. It's an innovative training and production program that will bring a diverse group of voices of women into storytelling and multimedia.
Mm-hmm. So coming out Tuesday and hearing that presentation is definitely a good way to find out more.
Yeah, definitely. Figure out, or even just talk to the people who are involved in the project, such as Kat Ballou and Paulina Abarca-Canteen, and see how your ideas can morph into some multimedia storytelling experience.
Absolutely. Oh, and we should mention that Ray Spoon will also be at the event on Tuesday
mm-hmm.
to perform.
Ray will play superb Canadian Gothic tunes from Superior, You Are Inferior. to make you sway before the holidays.
I can't wait. I like swaying before the holidays.
I like swaying all during the holidays. And the whole superior-inferior thing is kind of what the holidays are all overloaded with.
It kind of hits home, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of hits home indeed. So maybe we should play some of your audio to give people a tantalizing tease of what they might
sure
be
I mean I guess the little excerpt here that we'll play is won't be what we'll hear. I guess I should say that I kind of come from I'm kind of all over the place. I guess where I'm coming from is sort of a more journalistic and radio documentary background. But in that work, I've really tried to create soundscapes and to create ambience and really to sort of evoke a sound world that would make someone want to sit down. But I'm coming from a storytelling place and in all of my work that I really try to have some kind of narrative. And so the work I've been focusing on at during my time at XX and over the last year is more kind of less linear, more abstract work. And so if you come out Tuesday, the sound piece will be less verbal and more sort of sound immersion. But the piece now is from a longer work called The Four Houses of John Thompson. And basically it's sort of a drama radio art piece.
Okay.
I created a couple of years ago out east, and it sort of explores the myth of this enigmatic figure, a poet named John Thompson, who lived in Sackville, New Brunswick. So I think we're going to just play the first
couple minutes. Okay, and then we'll come back and talk more about what you're doing and talk a little bit about the work.
Sounds great.
Sounds good. Here we go.
Chopping, there are no secrets. I am a trout, fat, come out from under the bank to lie in the sun's mouth in midstream. A black fly stilled by the quiet, the clean light sealed in a bead of resin, a deer stone. Squatting at ease with our sweat, smoking, there is nothing to say. One maple shoot, green beyond green, is wife to us. We feed on roots. Desire and risk sleep, as though a candle burned far away by our beds and fires.
The story about John Thompson shooting the town hall clock? He hated the way the clock presided over Sackville, so one night John waits until the clock strikes midnight and he cranks a bullet right into the center of the glass. A perfect bullseye. He was a crazy bastard. He scaled four stories of Hart Hall and rappelled into a classroom. Students feared him. Students adored him. He stabbed hunting knives into desks. He drove drunk and shot at the university president's house. He had affairs with female students. He had a vicious temper. He was thrown in the drunk tank every other weekend. In the end, he overdosed on prescription pills and hard liquor. He committed suicide. It was an accident.
Let's talk about that.
So that was just
it's quiet, and we're just like, oh, the ghosts are here. Those are that's a really good example of the kind of freaky ghost stories I heard when I was in Sackville. Yeah, no clocks visible. Yeah, your mic is on. Can I hear you? Talk.
Hello. So yeah, that was just a little sample of like sort of a 20-minute piece where features sort of interviews and a lot of sound, soundscapes and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I guess we should talk what we were saying off air to people, because I have been to Sackville like many, and I asked Jana, is he real or is he mythological, this guy? He's real.
Yeah, he was a poet, a great poet, who died sort of under suspicious circumstances. And, you know, more people talk about him, the myth, than his actual work. So I kind of wanted to explore that through people that knew him, but also just sort of play with this idea of larger than life, mythology.
And the kind of creepy residue effects of the myth and the person that permeate into current reality.
Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to sort of create that feeling with a lot of sound.
You did. It was good. Thanks.
Yeah.
So you actually have a degree in journalism, communication?
I just finished a master's in journalism, where I was kind of looking at the role of community radio.
Okay, and the role of community radio where?
Well, I spent some time in Rwanda, I guess it was last fall, looking at how a community radio station was kind of developing journalism in that country post-genocide.
Oh, and what did you find?
I found that they have a lot of work to do, but that community radio is really having a very progressive role in you know, creating a participatory media that's bringing women and men in to make critical stories. And yeah, it was really, really inspiring to see.
What kind of community radio network do they have in Rwanda right now?
They don't really have one. There's only one radio station, and it's quite powerful. It goes all around the country, and it's really popular. I mean, there's one radio station. It's in kind of the smaller city. It goes all around the country, and everyone listens to it, which is very cool. A lot of people don't listen to the government radio.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of reasons for that, I suppose, historically, especially there. So it's interesting that they still do go to radio as a voice of communication and contact.
Mm-hmm. Well, community radio in Africa is really powerful.
Yeah.
Just like it is here in Montreal.
Right on. CKUT. Hey, you can make a pledge online if you want to support community radio here.
Do it.
So Jana's here because we're talking about the Femme Branche next Tuesday, December 15th at 7240 Clark, the Eastern Block. It's at the corner of Jean Talon and Clark, a little bit back from behind that Wendy's or Mike's, whatever it is. There's always that weird food place there, and I can never remember the name of it because I just don't eat fast food. But the doors open at 7. It's free for Studio XX members, $5 for the public, or become a member.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? It's only $25 a year. And we'll be featuring presentations by Jana Graham, Jessica McCormick, the two artists in residence this season. Jessica's animation video is entitled Psychic Capital. I saw a little pre-screen of it. It's pretty awesome, people. You should come check it out. And Carol Whiteman, award-winning guest speaker, will be facilitating and continuing the first-person digital project. And to take us into the night, Ray Spoon and the superb Canadian Gothic Tunes to make you sway before holiday.
Come on down.
Come on
Tuesday.
Down. Crank it up. And I have a weather blurb here. It's snowing out like crazy. It's a blizzard. It's supposed to not stop snowing now until Friday.
Really?
I just heard on the radio.
No. Yeah.
On the radio. You're on the radio now. It's really snowing like crazy out there, folks. So from my co-host, Mini-Me, she says it's time to get out there, get the skis, go sledding on the mountain. You can actually sled down university sidewalks right now.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Be sure you wear your boots. No more flip-flops, folks. It's time to turn that stuff off. And if you want to find out more about the event this Tuesday, check out firstpersondigital.ca, studioxx.org. And just come on up there and be sure you go check out Quilts as Mathematical Objects at the Red Path tomorrow at 6, featuring Dr. Gerda De Vries. Design Textile in St. Henri has whatever textile objects you still didn't get at the Beztoe Craft Fair this weekend. And thanks to Daphna for having a great sale time. It was fantastic. And I'm still tired from it. And thank you for coming in, Janet.
Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, we're going to talk more in the air, I think. And because we got a phone in talking about how Fantasmoco it was, the music that was playing before we started, I think we're going to go out with a little Evangelista and the Prince of Truth for all of you who just had to rock that disc a little bit more. Talk to you next week. Check out the Gorilla Girls. Ciao.